This is Internet Marketing.
Hello and welcome to the Internet Marketing Podcast, formerly known as the Site Visibility Podcast, produced by the team behind Brighton SEO. I'm Kelvin Newman, and in today's episode, I'm joined by Karim Adib and Manuel Massimo Madu, and we'll be discussing how to be more effective in your content production. Welcome to the show. I've got two exceptional guests again to join us to talk about. This week, we're going to be talking about, content production. So obviously, in pretty much both your SEO, generalist marketer, a social media marketer, even lots of paid media as well. Content is very important to being successful online in your marketing. And obviously, it's all very well to say content is very important, but you actually got to go and produce it. So I'm joined by two guests who are going to be talking in upcoming Brighton SEO about the production of content and some of the ways that they do that in, more interesting, more efficient ways, and use that as kind of a launching point, really, to kind of talk about content production as a wider concept. So, I'll get each of our guests to introduce themselves. It's probably a good place to start. Karim, are you all right to go first and say who you are and how you come to be talking about content production and talking to us today on the podcast?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Calvin. So my name is Karim. I'm an engineer turned digital PR because I like people more than I like concrete. I've been working in the SEO / search marketing space for about 4 years now. I kind of fell into digital PR just as my agency was naturally launching the digital PR section. So I just found my love for content creation through that. And been doing it solidly for 4 years now.
Fantastic. And you, Manny, what's your kind of story and route to today?
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep it short because I can talk for hours, but I'm an account director at Publishers now. Essentially, I'm managing, large international account, managing, the content stream, technical stream, PR stream, or whatever is needed in the account, And I've got like a more techie, I'm a tech geek. So I've got more of a technical background myself. I was a web designer, studied engineering. I'm really keen to explore, AI tools and tests. And in fact, the Brighton SEO will bring something about AI content generation. But nice to meet you guys.
Fantastic. And so, I'll come to you first, Manu, in that kind of like process. Obviously, AI is very much intertwined with this as a topic. It's kind of, and AI in its various different ways, shapes and forms. What are some of the ways that you're starting to see the proliferation of, AI technologies is starting to kind of find its way into content productions? What are some of the ways that you've seen it or some of the ways you're using it, I suppose?
Yeah, I think at the beginning, when ChatGPT 3.5, was released, there was a big hype as like magic, like a solution for all the issues in marketing, specifically in SEO, content production. But in fact, now there is more awareness of how to use these tools. And we are realizing, it can be a good starting point, literally for content production. When it comes to content production, it's not just about text and, content, what you write, but it's also about other elements, which probably, surely we will discuss today. And AI can also cover that. So it's not just using ChatGPT or Bard or other, generative AI tools to create content as text, but also other tools to create, for example, videos, images, other elements. They can engage more with search engines and ultimately with the audience, because that's the final goal, engage with the audience and bring value.
It does really feel like there's been a shift over the kind of obviously that initial kind of wow, here's a tool I can give a relatively short sentence long prompt, and then in seconds we'll produce hundreds or thousands of words about that topic, and it might not be perfect, but it's of a pretty high standard almost instantaneously, which is really impressive, right, isn't it? But you quickly kind of go, well, actually, what's the value in that? Then that's then the sort of the challenge, isn't it? And now I think the industry as a whole is kind of going, well, these variety of different tools which have a variety of different functions can help us in a variety of different ways. And it's not just that kind of put a sentence in, get a blog post out. That's not necessarily the way to use it. How about yourself, Karim? Have you kind of experimented in this space and some of these kind of newer technologies?
Yeah. I absolutely loved ChatGPT when it first came out because I like to work from something. The hardest bit for me when it comes to content production is the first few lines. instead of me dumping all of my thoughts onto a page, ChatGPT gets to do it for me. So that was one of the best ways that I've seen it. I was in my head at the start, I was like, great, I can get it to write everything. And then I read a few articles that ChatGPT wrote and I was like, well, it kind of sounds like this is very good. But what I really use it for is inspiration. Because a lot of the time you can get muddled up by what you're doing in at the time. But ChatGPT or different AI tools can kind of give you a wide range of ideas that you can kind of jumpstart off. I found that to be super, super helpful. I've also found it really helpful with the photo front. If I need like concepts for something, I'm not much of a designer myself, but and sadly, I'm not also very good at describing what I want. But through iteration with things like Midjourney, I can kind of get something that's semi-decent to send to the designer instead of just like an email that makes no sense. So.
I think that's it. And it's I've mentioned this before in the podcast, but the way that I've tended to use, like some of the more text-based ones is often that kind of, that when you don't know what to, you know what you need to produce, but you don't know quite where to start. And kind of getting the prompt and it might give you a bit of a structure, but then often you're kind of going, actually, I don't like that bit and I don't like this bit. And then in the process of correcting that, you end up with something completely original, but it got you over that first hurdle. In some of the ways that I've seen, ChatGPT using that. And like Midjourney, I think is an interesting one as well. It's a kind of like, so people may or may not be quite so familiar with Midjourney, but kind of image, text to image, right? That's kind of how have you been using that, Kareem?
It's I think it's through Discord. I think my technical team kind of explained it to me when it first came out. It's just through Discord where you have like specific prompts. But the best thing, because I use DALL-E as well, but one of the things I didn't like about DALL-E is like a lot of it comes out very cartoony. But with Midjourney, you can also feed it inspiration. So like I would need something to the similar design of an image and you just paste the link and it'll sometimes give you that. So whilst with DALL-E, you can kind of go through iterations, with Midjourney, I found a lot easier to get to what's in your head quicker. It's just an easy, I think, simple Discord sign up. I think there's a paid version that my company signs for. I know there's another free version. So would highly recommend anyone try out. It's also very fun to try out.
Have you used it, Matt, much, Manny? It sounds like, the one on your
list. I'm testing a lot because, I mean, Kelvin, I'm bringing something to the Brighton SEO. It's about, essentially I'm building like an AI-generated fake, let's say, profile. So I'm building an history, a bio for a fake person just to build authority. And that person will be the content writer of the website I'm creating with AI. And I've been testing DALL-E, so Bing Image Creator, I've been testing Midjourney, essentially to create logos, image ideas, infographics, but also realistic images. So say for a Facebook profile of this person. And the more realistic image I could obtain, it wasn't through Midjourney, it wasn't through DALL-E, it's through like an external tool I found. And it's quite fun because initially I thought that the image was quite realistic. And when I was uploading the profile picture to the profile, Facebook profile, and then adding my friends as initial contacts, everyone was thinking it's scam. It's someone fake that is trying to, approach us for sex motivation but it was feeling fake because it was too cartoony. Then I was using other tool to make like a more realistic image. And it's shocking. Like it can be an actual human being,
it's fascinating kind of it. And it, but also in that kind of, as you were saying, there's this interesting dynamic where obviously, and I imagine by no means as a technical expert, but because it's training, things are being trained from somewhere, there's a set of training data that they're using to do that. So it's quite easy for these tools to develop a sort of feel or style. And I've sort of almost been, when you first use Midjourney and you start to see some of these ones, you're kind of like, wow, we're never going to be able to trust any imagery ever again. But then strangely, I've been surprised how quickly you can kind of go, that doesn't look real. And it's like, but it's kind of sometimes hard to articulate, right? Isn't it? It's like you can kind of see this. And I feel like you can sometimes get that in the writing as well, where it's just kind of like, well, it's, like 95% or 98% right. But that couple of percent that's off that, you get a bit of a radar for, right? Is that something you've noticed, or is that like, completely in your head and you're making it up to make yourself feel better about that?
No, it's definitely something I noticed. And then, as we are saying, so it's an iterative process. So you start from an idea, but usually It's either you have a very clear idea, then you obtain, for example, a logo with a clear idea, or usually what you do is refining. So you start with a concept and then you tweak, you tweak, you tweak, you tweak until you've got the final good enough result. Just an example, again, for this person, I was trying to have a middle-aged man, which was strangely looking like me, roughly, like, I don't know, with moustache. And at the beginning was either too young or, you know, like wrong ethnicity. Yeah. So, yeah, I need to input different iterations and then, obtain what I wanted.
I've also found it interesting that process, that kind of iterative prompting. It's strange, I think, it's made me better at describing what I want, if you know what I mean, like for kind of more, you know, for the interacting with my team and stuff like that. How about yourself, Kareem? What's some of the ways you've been using kind of, you know, been producing content recently that, you know, might be AI related, might be kind of, what are some of the, you know, patterns or emerging things that you've been doing a bit differently that potentially our listeners might be able to learn from?
I think working within digital PR, you kind of have very specific formats that have always been a thing. People are like obsessed with infographics, maps, surveys, that sort of thing. What I'm trying to do now, because as the landscape becomes more competitive, you cannot really rely on one content format to push something. So if you have a really, really good idea and it's in the form of a map, for example, and you pitch it out to press and it just duds, then you have a huge piece of content you've been working on for like a month and a half that has gone no value. So what I'm really working on is how do I take a specific content idea, go to the essence of what story I'm trying to tell, and test out different content formats. I think video is something that I'm really, really keen to try to push more of, just because I personally don't think there's anything as engaging as video. It just takes all your senses and just tells a story like nothing else. So that's one of the things I'm really testing. Especially like as marketers, you want to be on TikTok, you want to be on these places where it is organic and people love that it's user generated, but you're also working for brands. So it's how do you put a lot of effort into something to tell a story that still feels organic? So that's kind of what I'm tussling with now, especially with AI being a thing. There's so much content out there that is just rubbish. And you can tell that it's AI generated, like you were saying. Like you look at a video, look at an image, you look at text, and it just doesn't feel right. And I think because it doesn't hit on the essence of what the good story was. They just started with the format. They started with, we just want a block of text. So at the moment, it's videos just on the brain all the time. How can I take everything I'm doing and kind of push it to have a video element to it?
Yeah, I think it's key. I don't know, Calvin, if I can just jump in, but I think it's key because essentially the market is going there. And, you know, I mean, every day I work essentially with Google, you know, for what we do for SEO. And because we've got major players like TikTok, you know, it's increasing its market share, Instagram, you know, especially for younger generation. So Google is kind of chasing to try to protect the market share. So it's kind of trying to provide more visual results. But also because of this hype of content, AI-generated content, you know, Google is improving its way of assessing the quality of the content. I think the key is, as you said, providing whatever elements can provide value to users. So videos, infographics, and also on SERPs. You know, they're adding, for example, perspective filters, web stories. Everything is kind of more visual because, again, they are chasing, you know, that dynamic of social media. But also because that's what users want. They want more visual information, you know, faster, more.
I suppose the formats that are proving most successful are those that are perhaps the more time consuming to produce. Therefore, if you can find ways of, making that video take 4 hours rather than 6 hours or an hour rather than 2 hours, that's going to have quite a big impact in your output and your success, right? I think that seems to be where almost sort of, if you think of like, you've got your kind of ChatGPT as an AI tool or whatever it is, that actually some of the ones that I felt like I've had the most impact are maybe like, okay, it's a tool that does transcription and then or auto reframe stuff and that kind of thing, whereas actually those ones that they're not kind of like the do anything tool, it's the kind of like slightly more specialist narrow focus of use. Are there any kind of tools like that that you've kind of used that have made your kind of content production more efficient?
So I think at the moment I've not really went to AI tools, because I think for you to go to an AI tool, like you were saying, you need to have your process down. And I think what I've seen is, let's say you're trying to write a blog, but your brand doesn't really have a structure. You don't really know what you're trying to do. And you go to AI, you get something that's very, feels AI-y. But if you have your own process that you've developed, and then you can go to AI tools to kind of fix that. There's a lot of work within the editing space, and not that I've fully tried out that much. But I've seen a recent tool, I just can't remember its name, but it did this really cool, I think it took images from Midjourney, you kind of highlight the image, and then it just turns that image into a video, so it turns it into a graphic. So that is very, very cool, because if you can take very like small concepts, especially if you're doing like an animated video or like an explainer type video, and just feed it into a tool that can do that, I think that would be a massive, massive time saver. Because if you can script something, give it the art style, give it the script, and it just do the bulk editing or bulk animating side of it, that takes away so much of the process. Because that's kind of like editing a video, it's like double the time it takes to actually produce the actual thing. So that's kind of where I would need something to save time. But I would also reiterate, because like I'm a big proponent of AI tools, but I also hate AI produced content. And I think it's very important for people to not try to force use AI in everything. And I think people can tell, audiences can tell, when the essence of something is by a robot. And I think over time, because there's more AI stuff that's being produced, this AI is going to start feeding off of AI content, and it's only going to get kind of more AI. Just that's the one thing I'm trying to be wary of within my production.
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, I think it depends, because in my day-to-day job, so say, because I'm working on large accounts, so I'm currently working for publicity, so, you know, when you need to propose new tools, you really need to be careful, because you work for big clients and they are a bit skeptical in using, you know, because they want to see the quality, they want to test, they want to have case studies. But for example, nowadays, because I'm building this project for the Brighton CEO, spoiler, I can discuss the thing, but essentially, I'm using AI to either, again, build the on-page content, videos, because I want to make really the page useful for users. So I'm also using text-to-videos tools, AI tools. And really, I mean, you know, I'm doing everything like in a month time. So if you think in a month time, if I'm building like 80 pages with images, videos, you know, content using AI, maybe without all these tools, it would have taken three times the time. So definitely it can accelerate. But as you said, also you need to be smarter, because the technology is there, but it's not that mature. So you've got that feeling, you know, it's not realistic or it's a bit fake. So I think if you use text to videos, you know, tools to produce like whiteboards, easy animations, it's good enough. You know, I mean, the users know, they can see it's AI generated, but still you can provide value for how-to guides, for example, you know. I saw, Calvin, you were also testing text-to-videos tools with your face, which was scary.
Yeah. I've used a tool where, like, you'll record, like, take a video like this and talk for 5 minutes and then put it in text, and it'll animate your kind of styles and mannerisms. And it's absolutely terrible with me, because I do this a lot. So if you put your hand in front of your face, it can't deal with it particularly well. But if you're able to, I struggle to do this. But yeah, but it's an interesting way of doing things where, again, and I think, as both of you were kind of alluding to, that like often they might be like quite good for prototyping. So it's that kind of where you're trying to persuade a superior, you know, someone else in the organization or a client or someone else that's like, well, here's a thing I'd like to do, but you don't necessarily have the buy-in or the budget to do the full version, but you can kind of go, well, here's a 75% version. And that might not be the version that you release, and you might need to go through and do that, but it's enough to persuade people to experiment with this. And then that's a bit like, I suppose you say, Karen, we're getting you've done the lion's share of the analysis, you've maybe got your standard format that you use, but you kind of would like people to invest the time and effort in repurposing, and, you know, that kind of using it for prototyping feels like there's an angle or something there.
I think it's just, don't let AI take the essence of the content away from the creator, because I think that's the moment we just start consuming the same AI generated stuff, and that's not a world I think any of us want to live in.
Fantastic. So yeah, I mean, I think that's given us a really good sense of some of the things that, yeah, some of the challenges and opportunities that present themselves around content production and trying to be more efficient to do that. I mean, one of the things I always like to ask people as we get towards the end of these kind of podcast conversations is particular like recommendations that people might have to like for resources. So it might be a book, might be a newsletter, might be someone to follow on social media. And Manu, is there anyone who, like, anything you could recommend that people who, if they've enjoyed some of the topics we've been talking about today, or just more broadly kind of, you know, things you can recommend that someone working in this broad digital marketing space might find useful?
Not specifically, because I'm already always keeping like an open mind. Mostly I'm following trends from Search Engine Journal, for example. But yeah, also, you know, I'm following Google in these days because I'm keen to see what they say about Gemini, when they release Gemini, what SG will be, you know, which is enticing, all we are saying. So yeah, I mean, follow Joe Mueller, follow, you know, the Google guy.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's good recommendations, isn't it? It's good. It's easy sometimes to get kind of caught up in what, like, yeah, the newer people are doing, when actually keeping a close eye and actually reading and understanding the stuff that people like Google and the, yeah, their team are talking about is definitely a good reminder sometimes to kind of, yeah, you don't need to look too far from some of these ones to kind of see what they're saying. And how about yourself, Corey?
Not so much a tool, because I think Photoshop did not make designers better. They just made better designers more efficient. So I think if you have the essence of a really good story, a really good piece of content, then it's ace. And I would recommend Storyworthy. It's the best book on storytelling that's ever been written, in my opinion. It's also like thrilling to read. And Steal Like an Artist. That's a really, really good book. Very short read, very visual as well. Like, get the paper book of Steal Like an Artist. I'm an audiobook guy, so for me to recommend the paper book, it's a big leap, but it's a beautifully written book. I think those two books have taught me everything I know about how to tell a good story and how to create a good piece of content. So I could not recommend them more.
Fantastic. Well, I love a ringing endorsement like that of something that kind of someone's taken a huge amount of value from, and hopefully either it'll be ones that people are, yeah, that if they've not come across, they could go and check out, or if they have, it also kind of resonates with them as well. And in terms of kind of keeping in touch with yourself, Karim, and, like, you know, keeping abreast of the stuff that you're up to, is there any particular websites to check out for you or social media profiles that you tend to use that, like, people should check out for you?
Yeah, I tend to publish most of my stuff on LinkedIn, so just my name, Karim Adib, or on Twitter. That's when you're going to get my snarky comments alongside that, because I keep those off of LinkedIn, but it will be Karim Adib PR, so feel free to reach out. If you have any book recommendations as well, hopefully on Audible, that would be awesome.
Fantastic. And yourself, Manny?
Yeah, same for me. LinkedIn, I guess. Twitter, I'll try to be more active on Twitter, although I'm more active on LinkedIn. Instagram, I'm trying to use all the social media pretty much. I'm not on TikTok. I mean, I've got an account, but I don't know, maybe I'm getting older. I need to explore more, I have to admit.
Well, I think it's also realistic. You need to be, yeah, honest with your time, and there's going to be ones that, you know, it's, yeah, if ever I've realized something, this is kind of best to lean into where you feel most comfortable on these things. And, like, there will be different people who have different, you know, kind of
preferences
yeah. and stuff like that will tend to steer them in certain directions. Well, like I say, thanks so much. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the talks that we've got coming up on Brighton SEO from, you know, our two excellent guests that we've had today as well. And I think in today's podcast, I've picked up a lot of kind of useful things to remind myself in the process of producing content. So thanks so much for your time, chaps.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And yeah, we'll keep the podcast coming and hopefully be back in your podcast or video consumption method of choice very soon with a new episode. So thanks everybody for joining us today. Thanks so much for joining us for today's episode of the Internet Marketing Podcast, produced by the team behind Brighton SEO, the world's largest specialist digital marketing conference covering SEO, PPC, paid social, web analytics, and content marketing. If you want to find out more about us and the show, you can check out the website, internetmarketingpodcast.org. And if you've not already subscribed to the show, you should hit that subscribe button. And can I ask a favour, if you are subscribed and you're enjoying the show, can you leave us a review wherever you're watching or listening to the show? And if you want to get in touch, become a guest on the show, or just generally feedback about what we're doing, you can always email me. That's kelvin@brightonseo.com. So kelvin@brightonseo.com. Or of course, you can contact me on social media. So at LinkedIn or Twitter, my usernames are Kelvin Newman. See you soon.